During the past several months, we have taken the time to really consider the life and the prophecies of Daniel. Really, you can divide the book into the first six chapters relating to a narrative of the events of Daniel's life and some historical accounts concerning his life. And then really from chapter 7 onward, mostly primarily the visions that Daniel received, the messages there, I should say, that Daniel received from the Lord. And I believe that our study has been extremely timely. I really can't think of any better time to look at the life of one who was living and serving the one true God, living in the world, serving the one true God in a pagan and a relativistic culture that is so much like our own. And yet also look at the certainty we can possess regarding God's control of the present and the future. I can't think of any greater time to have considered Daniel. When we look at the world today, and we look at our situation politically and culturally and socially and religiously, and we look at Daniel, we can learn so very much, not only about how we are to interact in the age and day in which we live, but in the certainty that we can have, that Daniel had, in relation to his God and the sovereignty of God. And I think really today, as the world all around us is just inundated and full of confusion and full of uncertainty, I believe that we learn from Daniel, we need not be confused or uncertain. And that one of the messages that we have that we can declare to others is we have no need to be confused or uncertain. We can know not only God's will for our lives concerning how to interact amid an ungodly culture, but we can know what God has in store yet future. We can know and we can have assurance and we can be assured of the reality, not only of God's control in the present and what he desires of us, but he is in control of the future that seems to be spinning out of control. From a human perspective, I mean, if you watch the news, if you read the newspaper, if you go onto the internet and try to find information today, your head will spin, your heart will become discouraged, I'm sure. And yet, Daniel reveals to us that God is in complete control. If you will remember, the very first study, we considered the fact that the book of Daniel is essentially really a story of tension, political tension, cultural tension, spiritual tension, and even personal tension in the life of Daniel. Daniel and even his godly colleagues, remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they always seemed to be caught between doing what was expedient and doing what was right. They had a choice to make. Just like we find ourselves so often facing today, we often have choices that we must make concerning doing what is expedient, doing what may benefit us temporarily or please other people, and doing what is right, the right thing to do. I believe that God included this book in his word so we might grasp not only a knowledge of the future, which is what so much of this book covers, but an understanding of how to conduct ourselves in the present, our lives right now in 2018, amid the culture and the tension, the political tension, the cultural tension, the social tension, the religious tension around us. So I want us to wrap up our study this morning with six key principles and lessons that we should understand as we walk away from this book. Really thinking through the book, we could have 40 principles. But, thinking through the key things that we want to remember, that we want to review, I thought of six lessons and principles we have seen to be a constant pattern through the book. These are the recurring themes that I believe God wants us to learn and remember, and we want to begin all the way back in chapter 1. If you go back to Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, I think the first lesson that we need to really be reminded of this morning from our study of the book of Daniel is that godly living, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you are a child of God, you have a personal relationship with God through faith alone in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Godly living, then, that walk begins with a personal decision to put God first in all things and do what's right no matter what the cost. Back in chapter 1 and verse 8, we're very familiar with this. One of the key verses of the book of Daniel. Remember when Daniel was challenged to go against what he knew God desired of him? We read, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. This begins this growth, this moving in a direction of spiritual growth, begins with personal conviction of the truth. And I'm not only referring and talking about salvation here, but commitment to spiritual growth in the grace of Jesus Christ. This personal commitment that I want to know God more. I want to honor my Lord and Savior, and I'm going to, with His help, do what's right and commit myself to doing what's right no matter what is going to be going on in the world around me. Daniel's taken captive at a very young age, and he had all the faith options in front of him. I mean, if you think about it, he's separated from his family, separated from his parents, separated from his homeland, separated from other many friends. He did have a handful there, but he's separated from all this, and he had the world in front of him. He could choose to do what he felt like he wanted to do as a young man, in a very pagan, idolatrous land. He had all the faith options in front of him. But here's what Daniel did. Daniel knew the word of God. We considered this. He witnessed the truth of the word of God. And then he believed in himself. Not just because his parents believed it. Not just because maybe some people around him believed it. Daniel owned it, is the way we might put it today. He owned his faith and trust in God as his own. And here he is, having all of the options of the world in front of him. Nobody looking over his shoulder except God. And he knew that. And here he comes and makes this decision when he was tempted to do something he knew that God would not have him to do. We read that Daniel purposed in his heart. That's where it begins. He purposed in his heart he would not defile himself. This is the first step of moving forward, I believe, really in the Christian life today. Personal conviction of the truth should lead a believer to set the right priorities in life. I think we're going to put God first in all things if we're truly living a life that stems from conviction of the truth, not just embracing it because mom and dad did. Not just doing it because it's what the people around me are doing or expect of me, but personally living it because it's embraced in the first place. There's a conviction in the first place. I ask myself sometime when I'm not where I should be, spiritually speaking, why would I ever truly believe who Jesus is and what he's done for me and then put the things of the world first? Why would I ever really truly believe who he is and what he's done for me and how much he loves me and put the things of the world before him? I mean, why would we ever truly do this? I mean, this can happen in our lives, but it shouldn't. We will, when we commit ourselves like Daniel did in our hearts as those who know and believe God, when we have that personal conviction, we will stand upon what is right with the help of God. Standing upon what is right, doing the right thing, involves courage. And as Christians, we need to be courageous people. Daniel needed to be courageous. Believers in the first century need to be courageous. Certainly, all these years, all of these centuries later, in 2018, believers need to be courageous people. Like Daniel, who was a courageous young man. Daniel had thick skin. Something that I think is lacking today among many Christians and Christian leaders. I heard a Christian leader a couple of years ago talk about the fact that he just doesn't feel like not only Christians in particular, but particularly pastors today just don't have thick skin anymore. We get offended or we get upset or we quit or we bow out when something happens that doesn't go our way. Now we need to be like Daniel. Courage is doing the right thing in the midst of adverse circumstances. It's standing up for what one knows to be right and following through. Now, we like to think that we're courageous people. We posture, we put on a show. You know, we wear all the t-shirts to let everybody know that we have no fear and we're so courageous. Yet that's not courage. Courage is when you purpose in your heart to do the right thing and then follow through and do it, even though you will face opposition, even though you know you will not be popular for doing what is right. That's Daniel. Purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And so he stood upon what was right. He was a courageous person, standing upon what was right. He then separated from sin and was separated unto God. Obedience to God is not only doing the right things, but it also involves separating from those things that are either forbidden by God or that will associate us with that which God has forbidden. And so Daniel very clearly said, I'm doing the right thing. I purposed in my heart. I'm going to stand upon what is right. And standing upon what is right oftentimes means separating from that which is wrong. Again, from the life of Daniel, we see that separation is not simply from contact with evil from in the world or the church, but from priority and conformity to that which is contrary to the word and will of God. Here's Daniel. He couldn't separate himself from the culture in which he found himself. But here's what he did do. He understood that God needed to be his priority. He needed to conform to that which is according to truth. And Daniel took that stand. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. The beginning of this entire story of tension begins with a young man who was convicted of the truth, who owned the truth, and because of that, he stood upon what is right, and he separated from sin, and he was separated unto God. And we find Daniel's attitude through all this also very fascinating as a side note here. One of the things that stood out to me, especially in the first several chapters of Daniel, is Daniel's attitude of humility and respect toward his enemies. I mean, we see this over to the point over and over again, to the point that the king and even those under the king who were in charge of Daniel became in great favor with them because he didn't have a chip on his shoulder. He wasn't an individual who thought he was better than them because he worshiped the one true God or he was smarter than them. Daniel always did what he did according to the teaching we have in Scripture. I'm not saying Daniel never sinned. We know he did. But from what we find in Scripture, he had the proper attitude. He had an attitude of humility and respect toward those in authority over him, even in adverse circumstances and situations. I believe the reason so many believers today, including ourselves, the reason we give in to temptation or we give in to sin of one kind or another is because really we've never really purposed in our own heart to put God first in our lives. So we're not abiding in Christ and we're not in improper fellowship with him, although we might be saved. We want to come to a point where we say, Lord, I love you and I thank you for what you've done for me. And as the Holy Spirit indwells me, and I pray, Lord, that I would be filled with that Holy Spirit in making you first and abiding in Jesus Christ and in fellowship with him. So that when these turbulent times come my way, like Daniel, I can stand fast and say, hey, I've purposed in my heart to do what's right, regardless of the cost. I purposed in my heart to do what is right, regardless of what everybody else may be doing around me or what anybody else may think of me, because I really do love God. I really do believe in him. I really do know that he's with me. Well, lesson one, godly living begins with a personal decision as believers to put God first and to do what's right, no matter what the cost, as Daniel did here, as he purposed in his heart. Number two, the second lesson I really think we find over and over again throughout Daniel is that as a believer, our outlook on life should be noticeably different from the world and should have a profound effect upon our behavior. Our outlook on life, and it should be different from the world. We go over to chapter 2 now, and we begin reading in verse 14. Remember when Nebuchadnezzar was going to kill all the all the magicians and astrologers and all of his advisors, if you will, under him, because they couldn't give him the interpretation and the dream and the interpretation. Well, notice Daniel in chapter 2, verse 14, Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree so hasty from the king?" Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel, and Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. First of all, and I just mentioned this earlier, we see Daniel answered others and he reasoned with them in a civil and a calm and respectful manner. Do you think you will stand out from the world today? If you answer people who maybe even have it out for you in a civil, calm, and respectful manner, oh, you'll definitely stand out. And that was Daniel. He had a different outlook on life, and it was reflected in his attitude toward those who were rounding him up to kill him. See, this is amazing, because sometimes we get so disheartened because someone doesn't like us or said something bad about us, and Daniel's life is on the line, and he's answering here in a respectful, civil, and a calm manner. His outlook on life was noticeably different. And then notice what he did beginning in verse 16. Then Daniel went in, desired of the king, he'd give him time, and Daniel went into his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. Our outlook on life should be different, first of all, in answering others with respect and civility, and number two, by seeking God amid the issues and the problems of life. This is what made Daniel so different from so many in the world around him. He sought God amid the issues and problems of life. He sought God through prayer. The first thing he did was have a prayer meeting with his friends. That should God desire to give him the interpretation and the actual dream, that he would do so. So we find Daniel here answering others in a respectful manner, seeking God amid the issues and the problems of life, seeking him through prayer. Third, we see him embracing the fellowship of God's people. When he didn't have to go at it alone, he didn't try to go at it alone. He understood the value of the fellowship of God's people. Daniel understood the importance of those who also loved and served the one true God, and what that means when it comes to going through the difficulties of life. So this is what Daniel does, and we see this in verses 17 and 18. He went to his house and made the thing known to his friends, his companions. See, a different outlook on life than that of the world. Civil, respectful, seeking God through prayer, embracing the fellowship of God's people, and then hearing God through God's word to him. Verse 19, then was the secret revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Hearing God through his word, seeking God, and then listening for what God has to say, which God declared through his word. How important this is for us today. Do individuals in the world who have rejected God have this outlook on life? Do they take this approach? See, my point is you're going to stand out like Daniel. But then when God revealed to Daniel the dream and the interpretation, what was Daniel's response? Oh, okay, here I go. No, he praised and thanked God for who God is. And if we were to keep reading down, as we did many months ago, verses 19, 20, 21, all the way down to verse 23, we find Daniel, after seeking God, getting his believing friends together, listening to God, the very next thing he does, praise and thank God for who he is. Notice he calls God in verse 18, merciful. Notice he calls God in verse 20, wise. Notice verse 20, powerful. Notice verse 21, sovereign. Verses 22 and 23, a great communicator or revealer of truth who knows all things. So here's Daniel. His life's on the line. He answers those who are seeking to kill him in a civil and respectful manner. Then he goes to God through prayer to seek God's help. He then embraces the fellowship of God's people. He then listens to what God has to tell him through his word. He then praises and thanks God for who he is. And then he didn't keep it all in his pocket. He testified of the greatness of God in his life before the king. And then we see this in the latter part, chapter 2, verses 27, 28, and 29, 30. He answered in the presence of the king, verse 27, the secret thing which the king had demanded, none of those other people can tell you, verse 28, but there is a God, capital G, God in heaven, that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. What a blessing. I mean, this is the kind of person we need to be today. And we see the second lesson really here in Daniel. Not only should godly living begin with a personal decision to put God first in all things and to do what's right no matter what the cost, but the second lesson we see, and we see this throughout the book of Daniel, that our outlook in life should be noticeably different from the world and should have an effect on our behavior. Like Daniel. What an example. The third lesson that we learn, we must grasp the fact as believers today, and we see this throughout the book, we must grasp the fact that as believers today, God is completely sovereign over all of his creation. Nothing is outside of his control. Verse 20 of chapter 2, this is an incredible text that we need to really understand today. Chapter 2 and verse 20. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Notice, wisdom and might. What a combination. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. If we were to go over to chapter 4 in the latter part of verse 25, Daniel says the same thing. Till thou know that the Most High, Nebuchadnezzar, till you know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and he giveth it to whomsoever he will. Remember Nebuchadnezzar, so puffed up with pride, so full of himself. Look at all of these things I have done. Look at all of the wonderful things that I have made. God says there needs to be a humility lesson given to Nebuchadnezzar till he understands that I, the Most High, am the one who puts up and puts down. So we have to understand, and we see this throughout the book of Daniel, God is completely in control over all of his creation. He is, first of all, he's the one who allows rulers to rise to power. He is the one who allows. We look around, whether it's our own country, or we look around at the dictators or the kings or the monarchs or whatever they are of other countries, and we scratch our heads. Or we get all uptight about all of these things, and we forget the fact that as believers, God is in control. They're not even in control. We don't like the fact that someone gets into office because of what they're going to do. Let me tell you something. They're not even in control. God is the one who allows rulers to rise to power. But at the same time, we just saw from chapter 4 and verse 37, God is also able to humble those who lift themselves up. We saw that happen with Nebuchadnezzar. We saw that happen with Belshazzar. I mean, we can go throughout. Not just during the life and times of Daniel, we can go throughout the scriptures and find that God is able to humble, he is able to abase those who lift themselves up. He will judge sin in his own time. And everything God says will come to pass, certainly just as he had said it. I mean, we can go through the book, but we have to understand God is in complete control over all of his creation. Pastor Gary says it well sometimes when he says, God isn't up there, walking around and wondering what's going to happen next. It's true. God isn't waiting to find out what's going to happen next. Oh, I don't know. Okay, wait a second. What if this person gets in office? Or what if this person over here does this or that? God is in complete control. We have to grasp that fact. And I think that is so much of what the book of Daniel is teaching us, that God is in control, not only in setting up, but also bringing down those whom he will. The fourth lesson, really Daniel, both chapter 3 and chapter 6, remember chapter 3, the fiery furnace, chapter 6, the lion's den. I think the fourth lesson that we can walk away from here is that we need to realize we will experience trials and hardship and testings in life. And yet we have to endure them with character, integrity, and steadfastness. God never said that you are going to have an easy life when you come to have a relationship with him. On the contrary, I find the exact opposite in the Old and New Testament scriptures. Jesus even tells his disciples, they're going to hate you, but don't worry, they hated me before they hated you. It's not really you they hate me. And we try to share the truth of the word of God with believers today, and they hate us because they hate that message. And God is saying, it's not really you they hate, it's me. They hate the message, they hate me. We have to realize we're going to go through trials and testings and hardships in life, but how we go through, how we endure those says a lot. And that's what the book of 1 Peter really is essentially about. The refining fire of our faith and how we work through these things. Well, like Daniel and even like his three friends, if we are going to experience trials and testings and endure them with character and integrity and steadfastness, first of all, we are going to honor and respect those who are in authority over us. We're going to continue to honor and respect those who are in authority over us, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel did. They accepted the fact that they're going to experience tests and trials in the world, health trials, wealth or lack of trials. Material prosperity, health, wealth, it's never ever guaranteed of the believer. And God's word bears this out time and again. I know one of the most popular religious whatever you want to say about it today is this health and wealth and prosperity. I mean, if you want to get the masses to come to your church, well, first of all, you got to have a band, which we do. And number two, you've got to be positive and tell people that, you know, God is all on your side to the point that he wants you to be healthy and he wants you to be wealthy and all of these things. I mean, the most popular Bible teachers today emphasize this, and yet it's completely contrary to the word of God, not only by precept, but by example as well. How do we go through trials and testings in life? Job problems, money problems, relationship problems. I mean, all these different health problems, all of these things. How? First, we continue to honor and respect those in authority over us, like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Second, we accept the fact that we're going to go through these. Third, we find that I need to still be the kind of testimony through this for the glory of God so other people can see God in this. If we go through trials and testings like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with character and integrity and steadfastness, you're going to be noticed by others because you're different. You will be noticed by others. And we won't make excuses to do wrong when the opportunity arises. Instead, we will remain steadfast in our conviction and thus in the end experience God's approval through the trials and the hardship and the heartaches that we may be called upon to bear, because we may be called upon to bear them. So we should realize we will experience trials. We will experience hardship and testing in life, yet we must endure them like Daniel, like Shadrach, like Meshach, like in Abednego, with character and integrity and steadfastness. That's the fourth lesson. The fifth lesson that we see over and over again through the book of Daniel is that prayer, communication with God, communion with him is an essential ingredient in the life of a faithful and fruitful believer. Turn over to Daniel chapter 6. We already saw it in chapter 2, and then we're here in chapter 6 again. We read in verse 10, remember after Daniel, his death warrant was essentially signed. Can't pray to any other god besides Darius. So Daniel then, verse 10 of chapter 6, now when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went into his house. And his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. To me, here's the key of the entire text. As he did aforetime. Didn't change a thing. He didn't alter his behavior because of a decree that had been signed. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Prayer is an essential ingredient in the life of a faithful and fruitful believer. Notice we saw this when we looked at this, although I didn't spend too much time when we were here in Daniel chapter 6 on these two verses, because I think we looked at it on a Wednesday night a while back. But we see the attitude of prayer here in Daniel, the attitude of prayer. It's one of reverence. You know, can we talk to God anytime, anywhere? Of course. We can talk to God while we're driving down the road in our car. But prayer is more than just talking to God. We can be talking to God while our heart is full of pride. We can be talking to God while our heart is full of ambivalence to spiritual things. True prayer is accomplished in an attitude and spirit of reverence and humility. And we see this in Daniel's life. We see a reverence and a humility before God. So the attitude of prayer is reverence and sincerity. There's no vain repetition here. Daniel didn't do this just for show. Daniel is a man, and we saw this, who was real, a man who would talk to a God who is real, a man who had a relationship with a God that was real. And so he just lived that out, as he always had. He loved the Lord. Reverence, sincerity, and then faith. Those are the three keys in the attitude of prayer that we see of Daniel here, in faith. I mean, like Daniel, we must come before the Lord today boldly with faith. As we approach our Heavenly Father in prayer, our hearts and our minds must be confident that he will hear and he has the power and ability to perform that which is according to his will. That's what Hebrews chapter 4 says in verse 16 when it tells us to come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. Grace to help. Mercy and grace in time of need. It's only through our faith in Jesus Christ, our great intercessor, our great high priest, that we have boldness and access with confidence. The Apostle Paul puts it that way in Ephesians chapter 3. It's only through Jesus Christ. So as believers, we must draw near to him, Hebrews adds, with a true heart in full assurance. So this attitude of coming to God is personified in Daniel here in reverence, in sincerity, and in faith. And we see it over and over again throughout the book of Daniel. This is how Daniel approaches God, in reverence, in sincerity, and in faith. And here Daniel comes, knows the writing is signed, says, I love God. I have a relationship with him. I'm not going to change anything. He's as real to me as those lions are that are in that den. He's as real to me as that. And so why would I stop talking to the God who is more powerful, the creator of all things? I mean, why would I stop talking to him? Because he's just as real, more real, than those lions down there. He didn't change a thing. So that's the next point we see here. Not only the attitude of prayer, but Daniel's consistency of prayer. Notice he set aside 3 times a day to personally get alone with God. How does that make you feel? How does that make me feel? Well, I do it. I set 5 times a day aside. So I'm like, no, I doubt it. That's usually not the way it works for us. We look at Daniel's 3 times and we say, whoa, it'd be amazing if I set 3 times a day aside to commune with my Lord in reverence and sincerity in faith. Well, what are we told in the New Testament about prayer? We're told to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. Actually, we looked at that a little bit when we were up on our fall retreat. Pray without ceasing. In other words, at no point in our life should we ever cease to communicate with our Heavenly Father. To do so is to hinder a proper fellowship with Christ and therefore to deplete ourselves of the spiritual strength and nourishment that we need. I mean, we need, especially in this time and place and day and age, my friends, we need that spiritual strength and nourishment that comes as we pray without ceasing. Don't cut off that line of fellowship with God. Paul says in Romans chapter 12 and Colossians chapter 2 to continue instant in prayer. We should steadfastly continue to pray to God like Daniel, communicating to him our praise and thanksgiving as well as our worries and our requests. We need to talk to God throughout the day, maintain communication, maintain communion with the one who gives us strength and victory to live a life pleasing of him. So the attitude of prayer we see throughout Daniel, I'm just using chapter 6 as a is a key text. We see the attitude of prayer, reverence, sincerity, faith. We see the consistency of prayer here. Daniel continued to set a time or three aside each day to fellowship with his God. And then we see the content of Daniel's prayer. Oh, you know, you could do a whole series of studies on the content of Daniel's prayers through this book. There are certain themes that are recurring in regards to the content of Daniel's prayer. Number one is thankfulness. Thankfulness. We'll talk about that a little bit more next month here as we're coming up on our Thanksgiving season. But notice verse 10. Daniel gave, verse 10, he gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He gave thanks before his God. This is the one thing it says here is that he gave. He just had a death warrant signed on his life, and he's giving thanks as he did aforetime. Maybe our first prayer would be like, okay, Lord, I'm in huge trouble here. He gave thanks. Lord, thank you. Thank you for who you are. I mean, we could also go back in Daniel chapter 2, and we won't take the time to, but in verses 19 and verse 23, we could see all the way back in Daniel 2 and Daniel 6, his prayers were saturated with thankfulness. Now, keep in mind his context. He didn't have some, you know, great childhood and life of ease. I mean, here's one who was carried away captive as a young teen, separated from his family. But he had the Lord. And he never lost that thankfulness to God throughout his life, no matter how difficult it was for him. Thankfulness. They're saturated with thankfulness. A heart that is in tune with God can't help but be thankful, regardless of the circumstances in which we find ourselves. And that was Daniel. I mean, his heart was in tune with God. He purposed in his heart from the beginning. He's going to please the Lord. He's going to serve the Lord and put him first, regardless of everything around. And so with whatever happens in Daniel's life, he comes to the Lord with a thankful heart, a heart full of thanksgiving. And I say thousands of years later, as Christians, we have more to be thankful for than anybody in the world. We do. We have more to be thankful for than anybody in the world. And yet we are the most discontent, grumbling, sour-faced people around. And I know I'm guilty of it too. I mean, we're all guilty of this. We have not only relationship with God because of the perfect, finished work of his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross for us on our behalf. We have everything that we need to glorify God and grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have his strength, his help, his word, his Holy Spirit. Access to him. We have all of this. We know the future. We know the way it's going to turn out in the end. And yet we go through life. I'm discontent. I'm unhappy. I'm grumbling about something. Someone offended me. Jacob said something to me before church today. And I can't believe the things he says to me. No, we do this. Look at the content of Daniel's prayer. It's always saturated with thankfulness. And we see our need to be thankful as well in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and 18, we read, we pray without ceasing. Remember, but you know what the verse right after that is? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Oh, we can go to the Psalms and see the heart of thanksgiving among the various psalmists. But first of all, the content, we got to move on. Thanksgiving, number one. Thankfulness, number two, supplication. Notice Daniel not only took personal and private time to thank God, but verse 11, to make supplication, back in Daniel 6, to make supplication before his God as well. The Hebrew word translated supplication means to show mercy or to implore favor. It's the exact same word used by Daniel in Daniel chapter 4, and Daniel chapter 4 and verse 27, where we read, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. I mean, this is so important to understand, supplication. Supplication means we recognize who we are, and we make request of God in spite of who we are. Lord, I know I'm not worthy. Lord, I know who I am, but Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm bringing as you call me to do, my requests, my supplications before you. And we're familiar, of course, with Philippians 4:6, which tells us to be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, Here it is again, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. So the content of Daniel's prayer, thankfulness, supplication, and praise and recognition of God's attributes. Daniel continually recognizes God for who he is. Over and over and over again, we see when Daniel communicating with God, it's not all about Daniel. It's all about God when he's communicating with God. He's praising God. He's acknowledging the attributes and the character of God. And he continually does this. In our prayer, God desires that we acknowledge his person and his works as well. So, one more. Final lesson. Lesson number 6. Understand this. God gave his revelation to Daniel and to us today for the purpose of knowing and understanding his long-term plans. We talked about this last week a little bit in detail. Eschatology, fancy word for the doctrine of end times or prophetic things, eschatology, is not some enigmatic puzzle, but it is revealed by God for our knowledge and our edification. I'm not saying it's not difficult to learn, but God has revealed it to us in his word. I mean, what's the statistic? Some 70% of all scripture is prophetic in nature. God desires that we understand it. He desires that we study to show ourselves approved. Be diligent in studying his word and learning what he would have us to know. And he revealed these things to Daniel. We saw this last week. Over and over again, the messenger kept saying to Daniel, Daniel, this is so you might know and so you might understand. Know and understand. Now, again, like I mentioned, Daniel didn't understand every single title and name specifically of every person. But here's the plan. Here's what's going to happen. As God's revelation unfolds, we in the church age understand God is not finished with Israel because his promises and covenants are true and sure. Yet we are not Israel. And yet we are guaranteed salvation or deliverance from the refining fire that he's going to pour out upon the world. Pastor Gary mentioned that this morning. These are things we can know. These are things we could say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for showing this to us in your word as we study your word. Well, those are our lessons, recurring time and again through the book of Daniel. Daniel was a special person in the eyes of God because he was not only a believer, but he was a convicted and a steadfast believer who owned it. He owned his faith. He owned his relationship with God, if I can put it in those terms. We see this throughout his life. He remained steadfast and faithful to God, even though everything around him changed from early on in his life. He remained steadfast and faithful to God, even though other people were seeking to bring him down throughout his life. Remember, the lion's den incident occurred when he was probably in his late 80s to 90s. Daniel remained steadfast and faithful to God, even though he was certainly weak in the flesh at times. We talk about this all the time. You know, the older you get, the harder it is. I know, because I'm feeling it already. Well, all of you laugh at me. This happens all the time. But no, really, you get older and you get weaker in the flesh and you get tired. You know, you have things that break down on your body and your back aches and your knee goes out and your brain doesn't work like it used to and you forget things and whatever it might be, your eyes wax dim, whatever. Here's the thing. Daniel remained steadfast and faithful to God. He didn't use his inabilities or his age or his hardship to give him an excuse to not be steadfast and faithful. He remained steadfast and faithful to God, even though he knew the harsh consequences of his actions at times. He knew that there would be physical repercussions were he to remain faithful to God, and yet he still did. Yet in the end, Daniel did not let God down, and God did not let Daniel down. That's why we come to the very last verse of this book. What a blessing it is. Not only did the Lord deliver Daniel time and time again, but we see God's promise to Daniel in the final verse of this final chapter. But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest. And yet resurrection, and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Today we thank God for this book and his promises to Daniel and to us. May we learn from them. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time you've given us to consider this today. And over the past several months, looking at the life of Daniel, considering this life of Daniel. Lord, may this just be the beginning, really, of a study of this wonderful book. May we dig deep into the truth of your word and draw truth that we apply to our own hearts and our own lives, not just for our own good, Lord, but ultimately for your glory. We thank you. We thank you that we can glorify you and bring you glory. And we just pray that that'll be a mark of Grace Bible Church collectively and of each one of us individually as we go forth from here. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.